We are up to Perek Kaf Hei, Pasuk Hei. We are continuing our discussion of the Shira. It's not really a Shira, but Yeshaya is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. He witnesses Milchemes Chegumagog. He witnesses these events that are taking place at the end of days. And he responds with this song, Hashem Elokai Atah, Aramimcha Oideh Shemcha. So in the middle of this song we have Pasuk here, where the Pasuk says, Kichorev Bitzayon Sha'on Zorim Tachnia. He is being mispalel. It's a prayer. He's asking Hashem to destroy the wicked. Sha'on means the roar, the tumult, the noise, the commotion of the Zorim. Zorim refers to the strangers. The strangers here refer to the enemies of Klal Yisrael, to the Umos HaOlam. Tachnia means to humble. And he is asking Hashem to humble them, to the machnia, these Zorim, and the Sha'on, the noise, the commotion that they make in this world with a certain type of punishment. And the punishment is called Chorev Bitzayon. Now, Tzayon is a dry piece of desert land, a parched piece of earth that is void of moisture or any liquid. It's Chorev is heat, is where a person stranded in the desert, and it is the sun is beating down. A person can very quickly perish. The intensity, the combination of the intense environment. There are no trees. The earth is parched, it's burnt, and the sun beating down, the intense heat, the combination is lethal. So it's the heat that beats down upon a piece of earth that is dry, that is parched. We learned in the beginning of Yeshaya, I referred to this when we discussed Ki Nitzion Teitse Sor. I told you a drush. I recently asked the Rebbe Balva Dakdik if this drush is correct. Well, only a few days ago I met him. I just happened to ask him, and he told me he wasn't too happy with it. But I'll repeat it to you anyway. In the Hebrew language, there's something called a word, the word and its opposite. For example, Yishrosh and Yishareish. Something, you have a tree, you want the plant to take root. Yishrosh literally means to take root. When you take the same exact letters and you change the vowels, it's Yishareish, to uproot. Another example, Liskol, to stone. Liskol means to take a stone and to throw a stone upon a human being or upon an object. Lisakel means to remove stones. Is that correct? Lisakel is to remove. I think it means to remove stones. Okay, let's give you an example from the Nusach HaTzvila. Chalitza. We all are very familiar. There's something called Chalitza Sanoa. The Masechta Yevamos, Chalitza, where the Yevama, she removes the shoe of her brother-in-law. Chalitzas Hanoal, Chalitzas Tefillin, where you remove the tefillin from your arm and head. What do we say in Birchas Rosh Chodesh? Chilutz Atzomos. Same exact word, Ches Lamitzadi, but instead of Cholutz, Chilutz, there's a Chira, which means to put firmly in its socket. Person's wearing the shoe. When you untie the straps, you loosen the shoe from its environment, from its setting. When you're wearing tefillin, they're firmly attached to your body. When you loosen the straps, you are being chilates the tefillin. You are releasing. When you take that same exact word and you play around with the vowels, instead of saying chalutz, chilutz, there is a shuruk under the ches. Chilutz, it means the opposite. It means to put firmly in place. We ask Hashem that we should be healthy, and good health is where the bones are firmly inserted into the joints. The bones are firm, they're tightly inserted into the joints. That is a sign of good health. Chilutz atzamos. So there's this idea called a word and its opposite. You take the same exact word and you change it. There are many examples. You look, open up any basic book on grammar, Hebrew grammar, there's this concept where you have the same word can be used in opposite forms. In this pasuk, the word sayon refers to a piece of earth, land, karka, earth, that is parched, dry, void of any moisture. And here Yishai is asking Hashem that the Rishoyim should perish, just like a person that stands on a parched piece of land, and where there is an intense heat burning down upon this person, on this land, withers away and melts away in the intense heat. That's what he's asking Hashem to do to the Rishoyim. Ki charbit zayon, sha'on zarim tachmi, you should humble the roar of the strangers. If you take the same word sayon, and you exchange the komatz under the tzadi for a chiruk, then you have tzion. And tzion refers to another word for Yerushalayim. Tzion haloi tishali. In the kinos we say tzion, there are many kinos towards the end begin with the word tzion. And if you were taking this principle of a word and its opposite, what then is the precise meaning of tzion? Eretz Yisrael is a land that's wet. If Tzion is a land that's dry, that's void of moisture, Tzion is a land that is moist, it's wet, it's nurtured. And when we use the word Mayim in reference to Eretz Yisrael, what does that mean? It means Torah. Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. Someone who's thirsty should go to water. Mayim ein mayim. Chazal tell us ein mayim el Torah. And the Nida Pasuk says ki mi Tzion Teitzei Sorah, from Tzion comes forth Torah. So we have here the word Tzion. Changing the Nika from Tzion to Tzion gives us the opposite, which would mean it's a land that's moist, full of moisture, full of water. And indeed, that's exactly what the pasuk refers to. Referring to a land that is filled with Torah. It's the source of Torah. Yes, I see you bother, right? This interpretation. But let me tell you the criticism for this interpretation. I've presented this idea to a number of Talmidei Chacham who are knowledgeable in the laws of Dikduk. And some of them just say it sounds interesting, and I don't know if it's correct. Maybe yeah, maybe not, maybe no. And this particular person told me that I knew this. I mean, this isn't that's the same thing that I was worried about. That this rule is generally true with regard by verbs, certain binyanim. Right, when we varfed off all the binyanim, and you don't find this rule being used, at least to his knowledge, by nouns. Adjectives. So a noun adjective is not the typical example of how this is being used, but it's not necessarily incorrect. I discussed with someone else, so I don't remember, he gave me another example we do find it being used by a noun. So he told me it could be, even though generally this rule is more common by verbs and adverbs, but it's also it's not necessarily incorrect to say that it's true by a noun, and that would fit very well with the idea of tzion and its relationship to tzion. What he told me, this person, is just say the opposite. Tzion means a land that's void of water, moisture, and that's really what Eretz Yisrael is. Eretz Yisrael to draw them. Why? Because Chazal say that hizaru b'bnei aniyim, be careful with regard to the poor. Shemehem yetzei Torah. From the poor is where Torah comes. People that are, that's a mitzvah, that the poor people who are poor, we have found in history, have become the greatest Talmidei Chacham. Whether it's some Ashkocha Pratis, or it begins a person, he doesn't have, he's not distracted by his possessions, so he's able to focus and concentrate on Torah, and Mimele, he becomes Talmid Chacham. Okay, so he's saying that Einachanam Tzotzoyon means a land that is lacking water, which means it's a poverty. And from poverty, ki mitzion teitze sora. It's also a drush. I like my drush better, but yeah. Yeah. A marker. That's a very common. I know that. That's a very common approach to tzion. Tzion is a marker. It's like a flagpost. Right. That's
central to the design.
Yes. That's a very common interpretation of tzion in the kinos. When you come to the kinos of the tzions, I mean that's right off the bat. And Ochanami, I'm aware there are many perushim for what the significance. I'm telling you something novel. Something. This is a different approach. It's a different approach that Ochanami tzion tzoyun. Create for yourself a mark. This is the flag post. This is where everyone in the world will come. It's the center of the world. Everyone will come here to learn Kosh Baruch Hu. Absolutely. That is possibly one of the simplest approach to understand the meaning of the word Tzion. But this is a different idea. It's a drush. And the reason why I'm telling you to is because over here you have the word kichodev bitzoyon, the same letters, and the only difference between tzion and tzion is the komatz. And we do have such a principle of changing a letter, a vowel, to a chiruk, and that happens in many cases, especially by verbs, to completely change it to the opposite meaning. Yishrash, yisharesh, when you go from yisharesh to yishrash, or chalitza to chilutz, you see that idea, it completely transforms it to the opposite meaning. And if you do that in this case as well, you have a whole new interpretation for the significance of tzion, and it fits in the pasuk, because the pasuk says, ki mitzion teitze sara. I mentioned this when we learned ki mitzion teitze sara, when we learned the beginning of Yishai, that's where it appears. Fine, okay. Now let's go to the second half of the pasuk. Second half of the pasuk is difficult. Second half of this pasuk says, choyrev. It's a poetic, what we do now is a poetic approach to understand the pasuk. Chorev bitzel of zemir oritzim ya'aneh. There are many interpretations. Let's just take one. Ya'aneh, let's work backwards. Ya'aneh means to humble, to be machnia. The word ya'aneh would parallel the word tachnia in the beginning of the pasuk. Oritzim would parallel the word sha'on zorim. The zorim, the strangers. The oritzim means the tyrants, the mighty. Mighty, we discussed yesterday, sometimes it's used in the positive form, sometimes it's used in the negative. It means the mighty in Torah and Yerushalayim, Klal Yisrael. Sometimes it means the wicked, the Rishayim, who are mighty in their evil ways. So here we're going to learn that the word Aritzim refers to Sha'on. The Zarim, the strangers, that's what the Aritzim parallel. So going in, Ziyana means to humble, Aritzim are the wicked, Zemir means to cut, to prune. To prune. So you take these two words together, Yishai is asking to humble the wicked by cutting them off. By cutting them off. Similar to what we said in the beginning of the pasuk, he's asking Hashem, Kichorv bitzayon, sha'oin zorim tachnia, here as well, ya'aneh. Hashem should humble the wicked, zemir, by cutting them off. Now in this, but what's the metaphor? The metaphor is the opposite of the previous metaphor. It's bitzel of Choref. If it's very hot outside, it's burning hot, and suddenly there's a thick cloud, a cloud of moisture, it's refreshing. It dissipates, it causes the intensity of the choref to disappear. So here in this part of the pasuk, we are describing the wicked, the Rishoyim, as choref. They're hot, they're fiery, they're intense in their rishus, in their wickedness. And Hashem now is coming to save us, or to get rid of them, to remove them, with a tzel of, with a thick cloud. A thick, moist cloud has the ability to dissipate the intensity of the heat. So what's happening over here in this pasuk is very interesting, is we're asking Hashem, Yishai is asking Hashem to remove the wicked, and he asks Hashem to remove the wicked in two completely opposite ways. If the wicked are one thing, we ask Hashem to destroy the wicked like with an intense heat. The wicked are positioned on the earth, and Hashem is saying, Yishai, and send down an intense heat and melt them away. Also, another request is if the wicked themselves are compared to the intense heat, then remove them by sending a tzel of. The tzel of will cause the wicked to dissipate and just blow away. So this is, so he's, it's like two opposite approach, which can fit well with what we learned yesterday. The Goyim, they try to destroy us in different ways. Sometimes they try to destroy us, they target us directly, like Amalek, Nazis. Like throughout history, there have been times where the Jewish people have been targeted directly, and then there have been times where the Jewish people have been targeted indirectly. They try to embrace us, to cause us to assimilate. Hatzileni no miyad ochi miyad esav. So it could be that these two different approaches of asking Hashem to remove the wicked, either to cause them to burn up, that maybe is the approach where they try to target us directly, or where they're trying to shower us with warmth, with heat. They're trying to cause us to assimilate miyad ochi, then are we asking Hashem to send the tzel of, the thick, moist cloud, which also can refer to the Hashuas Hashchina, and that will shelter us from the wicked. This pasuk also is interesting because we know the famous Gemara Masechta Sukkah that Elias Lovo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Goyim are going to say, give us a chance, give us an opportunity to be Mekayim the Torah. And Hashem will say, okay, fine, build for yourself a sukkah. And they will go into the sukkah, and Hashem will take out the chama min artika, the chama to remove the sun from its sheath, and it will, the heat, there will be an intense heat, it will be like chayrev bitzayon. It will be a very intense heat. What are they going to do? They're going to leave the sukkah, and they're going to kick the sukkah. They're going to kick the sukkah. There's no complaint against them for leaving the sukkah because mitztaher patim in a sukkah. Someone that's in pain is exempt from the sukkah. The tie on them is, why do you kick the sukkah on the way out? That goes to show what you're really thinking, what you really feel about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His mitzvos, and that will be the end. That will be their bitter end. They'll no longer have a chance. So here, that is what we're doing. When the perhaps that there's some allusion to that here in this pasuk where it says kichayrev bitzayon shon zon tachlia, that at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the zorin, the evil, they're going to complain to Hashem, it's not fair, give us a chance. And Hashem will say, okay, you want a chance, have to go into the sukkah. Hashem will then send out the choyref, the intense heat, and they'll melt away in the intense heat. They will melt away in their intense heat, and they will leave the sukkah and give it a kick. Okay, pasuk vav. This is another very difficult pasuk. Pasuk vav says, V'asa Hashem tzavakas l'chol amim b'chor hazeh. And this time, with time Moshe Mashiach, Hashem will make for all of the nations on this mountain a mishte shimonim. Now, mishte means a party, a suuda, a party, shimonim of oil, fat. Now, fatty meat. Is fatty meat? There are different approaches to this pasuk. Either it's something positive or it's something negative. So let's learn now. For the moment, it's a positive. Okay, we'll learn both approaches. We'll try to figure out. It's a very difficult pasuk. It's a positive approach. Hashem is going to reward a select group of tzaddikim, the chassidei umos olam. Although the vast majority of the nation of the world are Rishayim, and that's what we have in the previous pasuk, Kar B'Tzayon, and all the previous pasuk, the gloom and doom that Hashem is going to bring upon all of the wicked people, but there will be a select group of people from the Umos Olam that will be deserving of reward. And for those people, Hashem will make for them Yimos HaMashiach a Suda, and their Suda will consist of Shimonim fat. Now fat here means a good, fat, juicy piece of meat. The cardiologist might not be happy with this, but in the meantime, you don't ask questions, you go to a good suda, you go to a good banquet, and you have a fat piece of meat. Delicious. Mishte shimarim. Now, simply this means a party of shimarim sediment. Now, sediment, is sediment good or bad? So you would think sediment is poison, it's no good. So there are different approaches. Some mean that the shimarim means... It means, no, here it means good sediment. Sediment generally is no good. You have wine, and in the wine there's sediment. You sift, you sieve the wine to remove the impurities. So it's no good. On the other hand, the sediment represents the intensification of the wine. Sediment is an intensification of the good qualities of wine, and that's what they're going to be given to drink. Shimonim, and now the pasuk explains what exactly they're going to be given. Shimonim, that shem and nun means oil. Shimonim, mimuchayim. Mimuchayim means marrow, bone marrow. And that according to this interpretation, means it's the most delicious. In the fat, it's not just ordinary fat. It's fat mixed with bone marrow, which according to this approach means it's the ultimate fat. The ultimate fat, the ultimate delicacy. Okay, it's not clear why that would be a delicacy, but that's how it's interpreted according to this approach. And then went to Shimarim Mizukokim. Mizukokim means purified. The most the purest sediments pass in this world. Sediments generally mean the impurities, but sometimes sediments are particles of wine that are so the intensity of the nutrients and the flavor is so intense you can't drink it. So yeah, but in this context, it means a delicacy. It's not clear to me. I don't know. But that's how it's interpreted according to this approach. Shimonim is zukokim. Shimor means sediment. Sediment doesn't mean here in the form of impurities. It means adarava. It means an object whose flavor and whose positive qualities have been intensified to such a degree that normally an average person would not be able to consume it. It would be viewed as impurities. It would be viewed as sediments. But here it means a delicacy. Mizukoki means purified. The highest form, the most intense form. And this will be given to this group of nations as a reward for the good they have done to the Chassidei Umos Olam at the end of time, in reward for the goodness that they have done to Klal Yisrael and to Hashem. So, one more time, let's read the pasuk with that approach. Hashem tzavakus l'chol ha'amim. Hashem tzavakus will do for all nations. Behor hazeh nisman Yerushalayim will be invited to come to a special banquet, a special feast. A mishtei shimonim, a party where they will be served oil, fatty meat. A mishtei shimarim, a party where they will be served sediments, good sediments. And it will be the best of the best. The shimonim, mimuchayim, fats that come from bone marrow, fatty meat that is mixed with bone marrow, which represents the ultimate delicacy. And shimarim mizukokim, sediments that have been purified, meaning the most intense food, which contains the most intense form of flavor and taste. That's one approach. The other approach is just the opposite. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is coming to give him the kos ha'tareila, the cup of poison. Hashem is coming to invite them to their feast of doom. Just like we mentioned many times that there's the kos of yayin that is for good. There is a kos of yayin that is the kos ha'tareila, the cup of toxic, the toxic poisonous cup of wine that's given to them to drink for their destruction. That's what's happening over here in this pasuk. Hashem is inviting them to a feast to celebrate their doom. And what are they being served? They're being served poison. They're being served fat. Fat is poison, right? Everyone knows. Doctor tells you this is. Be careful. Watch your cholesterol. Shimonim. That this approach also fits well with the word Hashem Tzivakos, because many times we find Hashem Tzivakos is a name of Hashem that's used when Hashem is waging war against his enemies, against the Umos HaOlam. So here, V'yos Hashem Tzivakos L'chol Ho'am, Hashem will punish, will wage war against all the nations who have caused harm to the Jewish people, Behor Hazeh, on Yerushalayim, and He will give them a feast to celebrate their doom. Mishtei Shimonim, a meal of fat. Mishtei Shimarim, a drink, a meal of sediment, which is not edible. Shimonim Mimuchayim, it's too fatty to consume. It's fat that comes from bone marrow, which is it's not edible. It's indigestible. Shimarim Mizukokim, sediment that the purest form of sediment, which means the purest form of waste in this approach. It's inedible, indigestible, it's poisonous. It's sediment, not just sediment which can be consumed b'di'evet. It's sediment that is so pure, so grotesque, so poisonous, so toxic, that when they drink this sediment, they will perish. Okay, Pasuk Zayin. Uvila, on this day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will uncover. Vila can mean many things. It can mean the next psukim. But it simply means to destroy. Ubila means Hashem will destroy. Behor Hazeh will destroy. Or here it's easier if you translate it to mean to uncover. Es Pnei, those nations. Pnei means the face. Halot, halot. Halot means to cover. In this pasuk, the word halot is being used as a noun and as a verb. This is how the Radak explains. Halot, now let me explain the pasuk outside, then we'll read the words inside. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to uncover the nations of the world. For the long history of time, the Umos Olam were given permission to bring harm to Klal Yisrael, and to obscure the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they went unpunished. And to a maimon, to a person that's faithful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a challenge. How could it be that these nations, they are guilty, they are wicked, they are rishoyim, they have caused such terrible harm, such intense suffering to Klal Yisrael, and oylam kimin hagoy nohu, nothing happens to them. They go on, they live, they prosper, they're well. How could this be? How could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no din v'cheshvin? So at this point in time, so the answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into creation, he's covered them. It's as if they've been covered with some type of protective covering to shelter them from punishment for their terrible sins. But everything has a limit. A time will come where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove the shelter, will remove this protective covering that he has put upon them for whatever reason, why, to protect them from punishment that they deserved all of this time, and now they will finally get what they deserve. So the covering here represents a shelter from punishment that they deserve for the sins and harm they have brought to this world, specifically to Klal Yisrael. So this time, Uvila Bahar, Hashem will Uvila Bahar, Hashem will uncover on the mountain, Habahar Nazan, this mountain, Pnei Halot, the face of those Halot of the cover, Halot that has covered. The face of the cover that has covered. The same exact word being used as a noun and a verb. Hashem will cover, one more time, the Pnei Halot, the face of the cover, Halot, which has covered, Al Kol Ha'amim, the nations. Hashem will uncover this covering which has covered the nations, has protected them from harm. And here the pasuk repeats itself, V'hamasecha hanesucha, the cover, that hanesucha, that is covering. See, the same way we have here in this part of the pasuk, it's clear, V'hamasecha means a cover, hanesucha, that is covering, it's exactly what it means in the beginning of the pasuk. Pnei halot means the cover. The two words are together. Pnei halot together means the cover. Halot, which is covering. Just like hamasecha means a cover, hanesucha, which covers. Match the word masecha to the term pnei halot, the cover, and the word nesucha with the word halot, which is covering. Al kol hagoyim, over the nations. At this point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, enough is enough. The Hester Panim has come to an end. I will now remove their protective shelter, and they will finally be susceptible to punishment for din v'cheshvin, for what they have caused, and the trouble and the tsar and the suffering they brought in this world, and now they will get what they deserve. That's what the pasuk of here says. Hashem will uncover azeh pnei halot, the cover, halot which is covering al kol ha'amim, v'hamasecha hanesucha al kol ha'goyim. That's one approach. Another approach to the pasuk is
a similarity,
yeah,
to the Purim theme,
yeah,
masks.
Oh, I'm coming to that right now. That's another approach. The other approach is that we're now referring to punishment. We're referring to the Hester Panim. That why is it that the nations of the world, why is the only Klal Yisrael, they are able to perceive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a Ribono Shel Olam. The whole world, they don't sense there's a creator. They don't sense. They live a mundane, a materialistic existence. There's a lack of spirituality in the world. The only one that is spiritual is Klal Yisrael. Why we have the Torah. Hashem gave us the Torah, and we our eyes are open. But the nation, the world, their eyes are closed. It's as if they're covered. There is a Hester Panim that's built into creation. Klal Yisrael has been given the tools to see the Hashkacha, to see the Yad Hashem, but not the nations of the world. They're asked, at least to certainly, the Shavis Bnei Noach. But at this point in time, when Mashiach comes, end of the days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove from the world the cover, this creation of Hester Panim, the Anochi, Haster, Aster Panai, it will be removed, and it will be clear, it will be obvious to all, to the nation of the world, to everyone in this world, that there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is the creator of the world. But I want to just do one more passage before we go, I want to finish the last passage, the important passage, but I just want to remind everyone that in Mirat Hashem, tomorrow there's not going to be a shiur. There will be no shir tomorrow. And on Chol HaMoed, the first day of Chol HaMoed is Monday. So we'll do one day at a time. We'll try Monday, we'll have a shir at 10 o'clock. We'll have a shir, we'll only have two sessions. We'll learn Yeshaya, and then we'll do something about Yom Tov. We'll do, maybe we'll do Yom Daf Yomi, or we'll do something that relates to Pesach for a half an hour. So for not more, approximately in total 1 hour. If someone would like to come, please, you're invited to come. If not, don't worry about it. We'll pick up then, and we'll take it one day at a time. So we'll, on Monday at 10 o'clock. And then from there, we'll see Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We'll see how it goes. And then, of course, after Yom Tov, we'll resume our regular schedule. I just want to conclude one more pasuk. This is a very important pasuk. This pasuk is custom to say this pasuk at the conclusion of Hespedim. Bila hamavis lanetzach. Now, interesting, bila, what does bila mean? So what you have to go back what it means in the previous pasuk. Previous pasuk, Zayin, I translate the vila mean to uncover. Because it's clearly what the pasuk there means. The pasuk there means you have the halot, pnei halot, halot, hamasecha, hanesucha. It doesn't mean there to destroy, does it? Maybe it does mean to destroy. Hashem is going to destroy the covering. Or if we're dealing with the word covering, the word bila would mean to uncover. And if that's true, so here it's a whole different understanding. When dealing with death, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to uncover death. The pasuk means something entirely different. There's something called death. Hashem is not going to destroy death. Hashem is going to uncover death. What does that mean? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show that death is not really death. It's going to show the Olam HaNitzchi, the Olam HaNeshamos, there's another world. It's a whole different world if you translate the word Bila to mean uncover than to mean to destroy. And again, the proof is, the semblance to the word Bila does not mean destroy. Because the previous pasuk is very clear from the context. The previous pasuk, when it repeats itself, Pnei Halot Halot, HaMasecha HaNesucha, it means to uncover. It means to uncover. So here, what does it mean? Okay, let's learn now on a very similar interpretation. Bila means to destroy. Bila means to obliterate. Yeah, to swallow. Uvolas HaKodesh, yeah?
In both.
Yeah.
To destroy the illusion of.
Destroy the illusion. But destroying the illusion is. Okay, you're okay, fine. Okay, but in the previous passage, dealing with a covering. Hamasecha. Loit. Pnei aloit. There's a cover. So when you're dealing with the cover, what? To destroy, to mashkas, correct. But there are many interpretations of the word bila. How does Rashi say anything? Rashi does not comment. Bila yichasenu, you will cover it, right? So Rashi appears to learn that it means to uncover. We'll cover it up. Bila here means to cover. The previous pasuk meant to uncover. Here it means to cover. You see, the same word can be used in different ways. Here it's even the same nikud. It's used different ways. The same exact word. Okay, whatever the case is, let's start now very similar to destroy the illusion, to destroy. Bila hamoves lo netzach. Netzach is a very powerful word. Netzach means for eternity. There's olam le'olam voed. The word netzach is not a simple word to translate. It means for all eternity, Hashem will destroy ha-moves. And what is moves? The pasuk does not say moves. It says ha-moves with a hey, ha-idea. So many commentators want to suggest that when the end of days that we're discussing here, which again, everything here is very mysterious, very esoteric, the ha-moves will now, death will exist. It means a certain type of death. A death that's not 100% natural. A death from sickness. A death from war. A person built up there. You hear every so often on the news, on the radio, you read the pictures, you hear, what was the cause of death? Natural cause. And suddenly they're just covering it up. It's a lie. The person really died from some terrible disease, or was murdered, or who knows what. But sometimes, you hear such stories. People they live to 120 years old. You hear such stories, whatever it is, and they lie down and they just expire. Their heart stops because the human being is built into creation that a person only can go that long, and the body becomes weak, and over a period of time, it just naturally shuts down. It's a very natural process which takes place. We hear stories, people like this, that are 100, over into their hundreds, 105, 110, whatever, you hear such stories. But then, Rachman al-Islam, people die way before that. People have all these horrible illnesses, sicknesses, I need not elaborate. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And Baruch Hashem, we live today in modern medicine. Many things that years ago could not be treated can be treated. You know, it's no big deal. Take antibiotics, and it's like no big deal. And go back 100 years ago, it's the person would die. There was no antibiotics. That's it. There's nothing to do. And then Rachman, what?
Is the quality of life better?
That's another story. That's another issue. I'm dealing. You get that discussion. It's a discussion in and of itself. Let's talk about things where a person takes a pill and he's cured. There are many things like that. Okay? Antibiotics. Person has a cold, he has the flu, antibiotics. Okay, quality of life for 1 week is not pleasant, but after 1 week, business as usual, he's back playing tennis. Everything is the same. And to go back 100 years ago, the same exact same situation, he's dead. Give him 5 days, that's it, he's gone. Exact same thing. Only difference 100 years. And as time goes on, Baruch Hashem, I mean, medicine is getting more and more sophisticated, and as you said. The problems are also, the flip side, are getting also much more complicated. We all know what's going on. But then there's death that comes from war, for no reason whatsoever. War. Why do you have to get into a fight? Why are you killing each other? Why? That's totally uncalled for. There was no reason for the person to die altogether. So that type of death will come to an end at the end of days. The ha-moves, the ugly type of death, the death that is unnatural, the death that comes from sickness, the death that comes from war. But regular death of 120 years or more, who says only 120 years, even more than 120 years?
So Hashem will outlaw war? Hashem will outlaw disease?
Sounds like an outlaw. In the Mela, there will be no war. In the Mela, there will come a time where there will be a cure for every illness.
So there will be war,
there'll be no war. Mimela, there'll be no war.
There'll be no causes.
Because people will realize that people will see the Yad Hashem. When people understand the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they behave differently, and they are at peace with each other.
And disease.
Disease. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send a blessing. Boyrei reflux. Hashem will send a blessing, a shefa bracha, inspire doctors to come up with a cure for every disease that exists in this world. Just as this is a process, this is an ongoing process which has been happening for the last hundreds of years. We have cures for many diseases, and hopefully as time goes on, every disease will be cured. So that type of death will come to an end. There's more to discuss in this pasuk, so I will leave that for next time. There's a lot of drush in what it means. So we'll leave this on a good note. Bilaham of Sonetzach, and we'll do this pasuk again. And Yirtz Hashem.
Why they say this as
next week? What?
You're
supposed to end off in a davar tarif on a good note. That's a Jewish tradition. You're supposed to end off on a good note. So how can you end off on a good note when you add a levaya and a hesper, Rachmana Litzlan? So you say a pasuk that says that this will come to an end. That's the ultimate good thing you can say at a funeral.
You have it in the Haggadah too.
Mashach. Master of the Sai Mashach.